Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Pretty lady, 100 baht.
No, no.
80 baht. 60 baht. Pretty lady, real elephant. 60 baht. Missy, yes, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Really 007 podcast, and this is a very special episode because we are being joined by long ago from Thailand. Would you believe it? This is the boy who you might know as the Elephant Boy from The Man with the Golden Gun. Now, Sayan is here with us. Sayan is obviously all grown up now, many years on, and he's still living in Thailand. And we're here to talk to him about his wonderful story, about filming James Bond with Roger Moore, and about his life since. So, good afternoon. Is it evening there, Sayan?
It's six.
Yeah. We have with us Sayan, and we've also got Rusty, his good friend, who is able to translate into Thai for him, just to make it a lot easier for everybody to speak. It's wonderful to see you, Sayan. Great to see you. Yeah. We've also got John with us and Matt from the podcast. And we've also got John Orty from Behind the Stunts, who is another big Bond fan, a big fan of you as well, Sayan. So we're all here very excited to speak to you.
Okay, well, he's very excited also. This is only his second appearance ever. He's apologizing that his appearance is quite old these days.
He's very old. Happens to us all. I shouldn't worry about it.
He says that time he was like 14 years old, and it's almost 50 years later. He's 63. He'll be 64 next month.
Wow. Amazing. I wanted to speak to you as well, Rusty. How did you track Sayan down after all these years?
Well, it was just kind of like a labor of love. Actually, I'm a private investigator by profession. So every now and then I'll do something just for the fun of it. I've been here in Thailand for over 30 years, and I've thought about the movie every now and then and seen some of the locations. And I just thought to myself, you know, it's during COVID, I didn't have much to do, so I decided to track him down. And it wasn't that easy because he's not even credited in the film. Yeah, I found him. I showed up unannounced to his house, and that was it. We've become friends since then. He's saying he remembers almost everything from that day, except for the lines that he was given because he didn't speak English and he doesn't speak English now. And they wrote it all out phonetically. Had him read it.
So first, how were you picked? How did you come to be picked?
At the time, he was a street urchin, just like his role. He was looking after cars in the parking lot for tips, opening doors for people and, you know, wiping the windshields. He was approached by an Englishman. He refers to his uncle. We don't know his name or who he was, but he was an elderly Englishman with a cane. And he was staying in the hotel where Sayan was working in the parking lot. And one day he just came up to him and asked him, you know, can you swim? have you ever been in a movie? You want to be in a movie. And of course, Sion at that time would do anything for any amount of money. So he was like, yeah. I guess 6 or 7 kids were initially recruited, and they were all taken to the location on the day of the shooting. They were made to do a screen test. They all had to jump in the water and see how they swam. And he was eventually chosen. So, he didn't believe at first that it was a James Bond movie. Cast and the crew were staying, and he walks in the door, and there's Hervé Villechaize, and there are all these beautiful European models there. And at that point, he realized, this is for real. A little guy wearing a swim trunk size. He was wearing a little tiny swim shorts by the pool of the hotel, and all of the blonde bombshells from the movie. Yeah, he's surrounded by girls and drinking booze and having a great time. Yeah, so Hervé smiles at him, but they didn't speak.
Monsieur, good shooting.
I've never killed a major before, but there can always be a first time.
Oh, monsieur.
But yeah, it was just, he was plucked off of the street and put into the movie. Everyone was very friendly, and they smiled at him. The first time he met Roger Moore, he winked at him twice. He was taken to the set, which was at a Thai temple next to the canal where it was to be filmed. And Roger Moore was sitting down there playing backgammon with a buddy of his, you know, shaking the dice, and he had a cigar in his hand. And a brandy and the other. And he looked over at Sion and just winked twice at him, like, you know, we're in this together. And he was very friendly and nice, but very, very handsome. He struck him as being very handsome and very tall. Mm.
That's what you say to him in the film, isn't it? You say you're a very handsome man.
Yeah.
Handsome. On tie.
He had someone just off camera feeding him the line.
Okay.
Yeah. 40 baht, 50 baht, 60 baht. He just parroted it. And it's amazing they got such a performance out of him. But yeah, it was pretty good. There was someone sitting next to him, just like I am right now, feeding him the lines. And he would repeat them over and over again until he got it right. And then action, and he, you know, jump in the boat or jump in the water and remember the lines. Yeah, just do whatever they told him. Yeah, it was very comfortable, very very easygoing on set. So he was quite comfortable. And they just said, please try to speak clearly and try to repeat exactly what we tell you.
I wanted to ask, if I may, Roger says in his autobiography, or the diaries that were kept from that period of time, that going in and out of the Klong had given him a cause to go to the doctor and get treated. I was wondering how long a period of time you were in and out of the water there. Was it a long time, over a period of time?
He says he was in the water for about half an hour at a time, and then he'd come up and dry off, and if they had to do another take, but he was used to this kind of living as a kid by the Klongs. He'd have the elephant with him, and they'd put it down, and he'd jump in the water, give him the elephant, and then, you know, they had him swim like any kid would in the river at that time. No, he didn't get sick.
No.
I think he probably had a stronger constitution.
Exactly, yes, that's what I thought. I suspected that he might have had to.
But Roger Moore wasn't scripted to be in the water. I think he fell in.
I believe so. I think that was the case. He may have inadvertently gone in it and then looked at all the locals who were also using the waterway for all manner of other considerations, and then decided that maybe he wasn't. He was a hypochondriac, of course. So the moment that somebody said you might catch something in there, he automatically had caught whatever he caught. So he went to go and see his doctor. But I was interested because obviously science, evidently from what we're looking at on film, quite a period of time in the water. So, but he was used to that sort of surroundings. And of course, with the waterway itself, was it normally that busy? I imagine that's a main traffic route up and down there with boats.
Obviously, on the day of the filming, they had it blocked off. But yes, it's a busy waterway. It's the main Klong that leads from the river to the floating market, where the scenes with the elephant and the baby elephant it's Lipton James were filmed. So yeah, even today, it's still quite busy. I was there yesterday just having a look around. It was the first time I was there. And there were still tourist boats going back and forth. But on the day, he's saying it was a completely controlled environment. So yeah, he wasn't in danger of being run over by a boat or nothing.
Good. I'm very pleased to hear it.
Was there a lot of excitement in the local area that a James Bond film was to come there? That this huge franchise was being, you know, filmed in this area.
A lot of people came out to watch, and they didn't have any idea what was being filmed at the beginning. Until they saw Roger Moore come out, and then they had an idea. But Sayan told me at the time, he didn't even know that Roger Moore had taken over the franchise from Sean Connery. To him, Bond was Sean Connery. He hadn't seen Live and Let Die. Yeah, when they weren't filming, Roger was, you know, off a little bit to the side, and the local people couldn't see him. So most of the time, they couldn't tell what was going on. But he told me earlier that he knew who Roger Moore was from The Saints. No, he didn't know that Roger Moore had taken on the Bond role at that time.
Right.
Roger Moore was often like a dressed in the room, but he could see him when he walked past. So that's the first time he saw Roger Moore sitting there playing backgammon. But yesterday I went to the site as well, and there was an old woman there, and I asked if she was there on that day. She said, yes, she was 17 years old. And she remembers it very clearly.
It sounds like a very close community. You're referring to people who were there back in 74 and are still there now.
It's a very close community along the sides of the Klang. It's basically a squatter community. These people have been there for generations. New people can't just go and set up there. But he said the same people who lived there in 1974 are still living there now.
Wow.
My meet Bien.
He's saying he can still go over there today, he thinks, and might find people who remember him from that day. He's never been back since the day of the film. It's quite far from his home. He's never been back to that filming location, but I think I'm going to take him someday so he can point out the exact
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, where he saw Roger Moore and where he jumped in. Simon Templar. He knew Roger is Simon Templar.
I'm surprised they haven't named that point on the Klang after him. You would have thought by now. Sian's the dipping point or somewhere of that nature. That's the place where where he would have gone in.
He doesn't think that's possible. Even just to have this little bit of recognition now, it makes him very proud. No one has talked to him about this in 48 years. I think around 10 years ago, a James Bond fan found him by accident through one of the guys who's a friend of his named Du, who was in the karate scene.
Okay.
He was one of the guys in white. And he lived right across from Sayan, and they're still friends today. As a matter of fact, we're going to go have dinner with him.
Oh, nice.
After this. I have not met him yet, but he's still in the martial arts business. He has a Thai boxing gym, but he was one of the guys. And he actually showed me some of the photographs from the set that I'd never seen before. Roger Moore was very playful with them, and, you know, play guitar and surrounded by the other actors. And it looks like a very happy kind of set.
It always struck me as fascinating how a movie like this, which is made back in 1974, and yet there's millions of people all around the world who know and love the James Bond movies, and there are individuals who crop up in each movie who leave a lasting impression on you as a viewer. Well, certainly Sian's brief moment on screen is definitely one of those moments. Roger talked about that for years, right the way through his life, particularly when he became a UNICEF ambassador, because it was something that he thought was you know, quite peculiar that here he was an individual who was supporting the rights of children, and yet he was seen in the film to push one in the Klang, you know, so there was all of that going on.
I had read that was one of the things that he regretted from.
Yeah.
For you, mister, 20 bucks.
tell you what, Sonny, I'll give you 20,000 baht if you can make this heap go any faster.
20,000 baht!
I'm afraid I have to owe you.
Bloody tourists! 20,000
baht! Yeah, but he won't understand you.
Yeah, he said it was all just for fun. It was just performing.
Oh, sure. Sure. No, absolutely.
So he says you don't have to feel sorry for Elephant. It's all pretend. The first take, he didn't know that he was going to be thrown in the water. So it was a genuine surprise expression.
Yeah, kept that well and truly to themselves. But it's fascinating that you know, we're able to talk to him now after all these years, and you could throw a stick and hit 25 people who would know his character, and they'd know that scene because they're fans of the film, and they're fans of, and they probably have. And I also know this for a fact. There are many people who have seen the film, have gone to Thailand, and have come back with an elephant, you know, because of that particular sequence. So it's a lasting exactly.
Well, they certainly got their money's worth out of it. He was only paid 250 baht for the day, which is at the time it was like $12.
Much less than starting a speedboat and making it go faster. I must admit, I think he was 20,000 baht, surely.
Yeah, well, he got 250 baht and a speaking part. He had to do his own stunts. He had to spend the day in the water. I think they really kind of took advantage of him. But it's 50 years ago, and that's why one of the reasons I helped him put up a website was to try to help him make some money from this fame. He lives in pretty humble circumstances, buy autograph photos and things like that.
Cool. Okay. So what is it that Sian, I know he was doing some delivery driving and bits and pieces, but has that been a constant throughout the rest of his career, or has he diversified into other types of income?
He's basically a freelance delivery man. All the people in the neighborhood know who he is. If they need something delivered, the food vendors, if they need to send food to a customer, they just call him up and he'll deliver it. Up to 20 kilometers, so he'll deliver it for 150 baht, which is $4.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
His father did this kind of work before. But Tamana, he's been a freelance delivery guy for about 5 years. Before that, he did some driving for Uber. So he knows the distances and across, but he doesn't drive for Uber anymore. Yeah, he was a messenger for a customs broker company, picking up checks, sending documents. And before that, and back in the early days, he was like a manager in a pool hall. This was quite soon after his role in the movie. He dropped out of school in seventh grade, and he was like a denizen of the pool halls around Bangkok. And
right.
He ended up looking for one for a while. And he has a very interesting life story. It was a very famous pool hall at the time in Bangkok called Rooks, R-O-O-K-S.
R-O-O-K-S.
R-O-O-K-S, yeah. So he managed the queue for the people who wanted to play pool. And he was a very good pool player himself. Yeah, he likes to play pool. He's a good pool player.
Was there ever the possibility of directional change after the film? I mean, was he bitten by the bug of the whole making movies and being part of that? Was that something that he could considered going towards maybe after working on the film?
He was just a kid. He had no real deep thoughts, no thinking about the future. He was just hustling to make enough money to get through the day. This was just one thing he did to make money, and he didn't consider to make it a career. He's, a street kid from the very beginning and has just been hustling for the last 50 years.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mini.
He has a family. He has a father and eight brothers and sisters. He's four of eight. But it was a broken family. He never lived with his mother and father. Very poor. He was homeless at one point before the filming of the movie, sleeping on the steps of a movie theater. Basically, a difficult situation, a broken family. So he's been looking after himself from a very early age. He was kicked out of school for beating a kid up, for looking down on him for being poor, and was kind of bumped around, from uncle's house to brother's house. A very unstable family.
Is it true that your own family didn't believe that you were in the film?
He says it's true. He came back at the end of the day. He said, "Hey, I've been in the movie today." And they said, "Yeah, right."
Maybe
his family life lacked warmth and trust, and he was a bad kid. He was just a delinquent and prone to lying, and they didn't believe him. His parents never saw him in the movie. His parents never saw a movie in their whole lives. They'd never been in the theater. And no one believed him, and no one saw him in the movie when it was playing. And only recently, since we have YouTube and can watch it anytime, do his brothers and sisters acknowledge that, yeah, he was telling the truth. It was a broken family. He would come home from school. There'd be no adults there, no one to help him with his homework. He had no money to buy food at lunch, school. So from a very early age, he would shine shoes on the street. He was begging at one point, in charge of his own destiny since a very early age.
Well, let's hope that this is the start of a second career then, because that would be great if we could, if something could come of this, because it's about time that you'll recognize the way that other individuals, other actors who worked in Bond pictures are recognized. So this could be the start of something very big.
He has a very Buddhist view of the world. No, even that he's getting some money now from these activities. He's finally made that 20,000 baht just today that Roger Moore promised him back in the day. But, it's not, he doesn't consider it his money. He's going to give a lot of it to charity, a lot of it to the institutions that have helped him. He was very ill many years ago. He had to have an open heart surgery, and he had zero money, no money at all. It was actually paid for by a charity organization. So he believes that, people have helped him all his life, and when he gets money, it's time for him to return the favor. So that is his plan. But yeah, he's very happy to be recognized now. Yeah, he says the scars on his chest and on his abdomen, he's had no surgeries. He had some congenital defects in his heart and his abdomen. But the only reason he's sitting here today is because people were generous with him. So that is his plan for the future. Whatever comes his way is to help others that might be in a difficult situation as he was.
We're so grateful, Sayan, and there's so many millions of Bond fans here who love you. Yeah. You must know that. I want you to know that, Sayan.
Oh, yeah. He's very appreciative. Yeah. Yeah, we'd be grateful if you could direct your listeners to the website. It's 007elephantboy.com.
Yeah, we will. Mm-hmm. Don't worry.
Sayan will autograph a photo. He'll personalize it any way you want.
If you're enjoying this episode of Really 007, find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can also download more episodes from iTunes, Spotify, or our new YouTube channel. Debat bon love. Debat boy, oui. Debat bon love. Just going back to the day of filming, how much of it was improvised, Sayan? Were they making it up as they went along?
From his perspective, it was totally scripted. He didn't speak English, so there was no way for him to improvise. But what he saw, from what he saw, it appears to be everything by the script.
ไม่เหมือนเราจะได้ไม่ต้องติดขัดแล้วที่ผมก็พูด
he just spit back exactly what the assistant put in his ear
okay
and did the boat work you know when you fix it you change the little screw thing and it zooms off I assume that might have been a bit of movie magic
แต่ตอนนั้นเขาบอก
he just did whatever they told him they said they told him to turn the valve he turned the valve and when the boat went off so in different takes of course
yeah
he was just totally following instructions looking forward to getting his 250 baht at the end of the day. They would demonstrate what they would want him to do once. And they'd tell him, you know, just follow us, do exactly what we do, turn the valve. And it was like a little robot. They went very quickly right into takes. So they would prep him in advance and just get in the water. And they would just say, action. And that was it. You just do it.
And also, just to ask, as well as yourself being an iconic character, there's also another one who appeared in later on in that scene, Sheriff J.W. Pepper. Do you remember him? Do you know who I'm talking about? Did you meet him at all?
I've got the book here, the Bond and Tyler book. So I'll show him the photo.
In the film, he's there with his wife and he gets pushed into the water by an elephant. Oh, look, there's a picture there, look, that John's put up. Look.
There we are. Now I'm just holding up a picture of the Clifton James in character as J.W. Pepper.
I don't think he remembers. No, he doesn't
remember. Okay, no problem.
To film it separately.
Yeah.
He says he remembers Chevy Villachez very clearly because of his size, but he doesn't remember Clifton James. It wasn't someone he recognized. So. He recognized Roger Moore. When he came across Roger Moore, it was like a shock because this is a guy I've seen on the screen. Sure. He knew very well, and Hervé Villechaize as well. But the other actors were not known to him, so he didn't really
It's always interesting that everybody remembers Hervé Villechaize, and yet, Cyan, you've probably been about the same size, I would have thought back then. You pair of you would have been separated at birth.
He was about the same size. He was really excited to see Hervé and Roger Moore because he knew them very well. And Hervé was about his size. He's been a small guy ever since he was a kid, quite bad health. He was 14 at that time, but still quite small.
14. Wow, that's I never thought. You've just answered another question there because you assumed that looking at the footage, he would have been 7 or 8 or 9, maybe. But 14 is actually quite old.
He was 14,
quite small.
Right now, his height is only 159 centimeters. He's always been small.
So, working with Roger Moore, you mentioned Roger again there. How was he as a person? Was he a nice man to work with?
He was very nice. I mean, basically, he walked by the place where Roger Moore was sitting there playing backgammon with his friend, and he didn't have to look up or acknowledge him at all. But Cyan walked by and kind of started, said, "Oh, it's Roger Moore." And Roger Moore turned to him and smiled, big smile, and winked at him twice. And Cyan says, "If he wasn't a nice guy, he wouldn't have even bothered to do that." But no, he was very warm and. There are also a lot of photographs taken on the set of Roger Moore with a lot of the extras looking very happy and warm. He's a gentleman in Spaburu. He got a very good impression from Roger Moore, a very, very warm impression.
That's good to hear.
I also believe that the production crew presented you with some clothing at the end of shooting. Is that right?
This was before the shooting.
Oh, I see.
Before the shooting was even mentioned, the old guy with the cane. Yeah, Cyan had gone to beg from him. He said, you know, "Give me 10 baht, right?"
Hey, you, give me 10 baht. Hey, you, give me 10 baht.
This guy said, "Well, there's a department store here. Let me take you and buy you some clothes because, you know, he was in tattered, dirty clothes." He bought him 2 pairs of Levi's, 2 shirts, and a pair of shoes, U.S. Masters shoes that look kind of like Converse.
Wow.
And this was before anything was mentioned about the filming at all. It was only the next day where he saw him again in the parking lot and said, "Hey, can you swim? You want to be in a movie?" So he bought him these clothes and told Cyan, "Okay, you wear these clothes tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I'll take you to be in a movie." And the next morning at 9 o'clock, Cyan showed up wearing the, you know, the bright new clothes, and he took him to the Narai Hotel, which was where all the cast and crew were staying, and that's where he met Hervé Villechaize for the first time.
Fascinating to find out who this person was. I'm imagining it's a casting director, but I'll double check it and see if we can come up with a name before the end of this.
He says he was quite an old man, Englishman, he assumes, was had a cane, he walked with a cane, but he was not staying at the Narai Hotel with the rest of the cast and crew.
Right.
Okay. He was staying at the Indra Hotel, which is where Siam was working in the parking lot. So we don't have any idea what his name was or who it was.
I'm going to go to the hotel at the Narai.
This guy spoke Thai, so maybe he was a local fixer.
Oh, maybe a local fixer, right, okay.
So the guy was wearing a cap, had a cane, was quite elderly, took him to the Narai Hotel, introduced him to one of the production assistants, asked him to sign his name on a pay voucher. It was 250 baht for the day. He got paid that day, even though they didn't film that actual day, they filmed the next day. Mm-hmm. And then he never saw this guy again. So it must have been a local fixer, someone who was recruiting local extras or talent for the film. That was the last time he saw him. It wasn't until the second day, the next day after he showed up at the hotel wearing his clothes, that the actual filming took place.
Right, okay.
He never saw the recruiter again. He actually went back to the hotel and tried to find him, but he had checked out. So.
What about Cyan's reaction to seeing the film for the first time? I mean, how did that happen? Was that at an event or was that elsewhere? Or did he not see it until many years later?
At the time, he had no idea what the movie was called or when it was coming out. There was no contact after the filming with anyone from the production. So he actually... When the movie was shown in Thailand, he wasn't even sure that it was the one he was in. He just went in to see this James Bond movie, and there he was on screen. He had no idea going in that he was going to be on the screen, so it was a total shock to him. He was friends with the movie theater manager, so he always got to go in and see the movies for free. And there was no fanfare. It was just a complete coincidence. Even when he was filming, he did not know it was a James Bond movie. They didn't tell him anything about what was going on. He saw Roger Moore and he thought in his head, okay, that's Simon Templar. So he was not given any background on what was taking place and what he was getting involved in. And he just showed up to see this movie just out of... He just followed the instructions and no one told him anything. And then another day, he was just at the movie theater and the manager invited him to come in and see the movie. And there he was on screen in a James Bond movie. So he was a street kid around the Indra Theater. The manager always let him in for free. And that day he didn't even know what he was going to see when he went into the theater. But it was a James Bond film, and then his scene shows up on screen. So it was a surprise.
Amazing.
He was just a slum kid, a street kid. Didn't know anything about anything. The people in the theater didn't even know that it was him. He was just a slum kid. He was only after the money. You know, if he made enough money to get it through the day, that was his goal. And he really didn't care about anything else.
Absolutely fantastic to hear all these stories, Cyan. It's so amazing. I just wonder before we go, can you remember any of your lines from the film? We'd love to hear you speak those lines if you can remember them.
Uh, เขียนมาว่าภาษาไทยก็อ
ีลูกเต้น He doesn't remember any of the lines. He just remembers something about an elephant. And it was just in one ear and out his mouth. He had no idea what he was saying.
ไม่ได้เพราะว่ารู้มันคืออะไรแล้วก็ไปตามชีวิตของเรานะ
To him, it was just sounds.So no, he doesn't remember the exact lines. Yeah.
One of them was he says, bloody tourist, doesn't he?
Bloody tourist. 20,000 baht, bloody tourist.
He
says he doesn't remember.
Bloody tourist.
Yes.
Is that his actual voice in the film? I was wondering if it maybe was dubbed over. Yeah. No, it is his voice.
ไม่ได้พูดครั้งเดียวจบพูดเป็นร้อยคำละนั่งอย่างเงี้ยคุยอย่างเงี้ยพูดอย่างเงี้ยพูดอย่างเงี้ยตลอดเลยเป็นร้อยอ่ะ
They made him repeat the lines like 100 times before they ran the cameras.
ถ้าไม่พูดแบบนี้ก็จำไม่ได้ต้องพูดบ่อยๆมันก็ท่องจำนะครับมันก็ท่องพูด
It's over and over and over repetition, and then it was action. It just went and then repeated.
เหมือนกับแล้วที่ผมเขียนผมต้องดูก่อนนะแล้วผมก็เขียนไปมันไม่ได้เขียนครั้งเดียวจำต้องเขียนไปเลยเพราะมี
It's just like when people ask him to personalize his autograph photos, I give him what they want to see in English. Bloody tourist, 20,000 baht, and he's just writing letter by letter. He doesn't really understand what it all means. It's just repetition.
I want to thank you for this, Siam. We could go on because there's so many amazing things you're telling us. It's been a real joy and a pleasure to speak to you.And like we say, Bond fans all around the world will love to see you. They'll love to see that how you're getting on all these years later. And they'll also want to donate to your charity as well. They would like to support you with that. So we will put that out to our channels and we will make sure that people know where to support you, Siam. But from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for this. We really do.
ขอบคุณอีกครั้งนะครับคือด้วยความที่เป็นเด็กจดจำก็แค่นี้นะฮะถ้าจำมากกว่านี้ก็คงไม่ใช่แล้วอ
่ะ He's also thanking you for taking interest in him and he's sorry if he can't remember everything because he was just a kid a long time ago.
Not at all. Dear me, no.
It's been wonderful.
Been wonderful, yeah. Thank you so much, Diane. And thank you very much. It's been amazing.
Yeah, no worries.
Both here.
Do you want to talk again? Just let me know. Send me
an email. Yeah, well, I think we might have to, might we, after all this?
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be an opportunity to meet one day.
Yeah,
maybe some convention or something invited to join.
That would be wonderful. We would love to see you.
The 50th anniversary is coming up in a couple of years.
In a couple of years, it will be.
Very happy to meet this band.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you very much, both of you. We wish you well.
Yeah, thank you.
We thank you for your amazing part in the James Bond world.
Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you.
Okay, see you guys later then.
Really?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.